Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Stardust is alive. Did the Ring of Honor pay-per-view deliver? And we discuss Money in the Bank. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark. I am Andrew. He is Air. Let's get right into the news. So Stardust and Goldust, they're going to feud possibly at SummerSlam, but what are the stipulations on this, Aaron?
So it is potential that we may see the Rhodes Brothers feud. This is something that's been speculated for a long, long time now, and it's actually going to depend entirely on the crowd reaction. So if the crowd is really into the Stardust gimmick, then they're actually going to potentially win the titles at SummerSlam. They're going to really push Stardust and Goldust, and then they'll have a breakup probably further down the road. But if the crowd rejects it, then what's going to end up happening is we're going to see Cody Rhodes say, you know what, actually, it's not me, it's you, Goldust. And then they're going to get into a little bit of a squabble, and we're going to see a match at SummerSlam. Are you interested in a Rhodes Brothers match?
You know, Stardust is really weird because he wears those red and yellow contacts. It's kind of freaky, actually. I'm kind of interested in this, but I would rather see them as a tag team. And then later on, like at Royal Rumble, like something happens and then they wrestle at WrestleMania. I think it would be kind of cool if you said that, you know, winner takes all or whatever, and just have Goldust win.
What are they going to take? What are they going to take,
though? You know, it could be a retirement match.
Okay, you know, I could see that maybe.
If they did that, then Goldust will have to put Stardust over. It's one of those things that, you know, it's definitely going to decide on the crowd. I hope the crowd is into it. The character is really weird. I'm still confused on the whole aspect of it. But, you know, it's a wait and see, unfortunately, with this. I wish I could go into more detail, but we just have to...
Do you think the crowd will like it?
It depends. I thought the crowd was going to love Adam Rose, and apparently they don't. And geez, let's talk about Sami Zayn. He keeps losing. The crowd loves him, but it's one of those things. He's not pushed down our throat. I think they're going to push Stardust down our throat. I believe that him and Goldust will have some type of match, probably against Ryback at Money in the Bank, even though it's not announced. But I'm assuming that's what they're going to do. And I believe that if Stardust is over with the crowd there, then they're going to continue with it, and then they'll win the titles at SummerSlam. But if the crowd rejects it on Sunday, I see them scrapping this right off the bat. But again, it's wait and see.
I don't think they would scrap it right off the bat, but I do agree. I think that they will kind of, you know, fast track it, though. Andy, let's talk about WWE programming this week. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, a guy that I actually really like and probably is one of the most underrated wrestlers and performers really right now in WWE, and that is Damian Sandow. And he is continuing to get buried week after week after week. Do you think that there's going to be a payoff to what's going on with him and his character?
You know, they did something like this with Big Show, but Big Show would come out as different characters. Like, he came out with Hulk Hogan at one point. I'm trying to think of the other ones, but he kept coming out with someone different. This is kind of what Sandow's doing, but he's doing, like, he came out as LeBron James one week, which that was the funniest one. And then he keeps coming out just different characters. There will be a payoff, but I hope that the payoff ends up being him doing something where he gets like a title, like a IC title or a US title, something like that. You know, it just depends, because I would really like to see Sandow versus Barrett and have Sandow win the title. And then I think he'd get over, and then the crowd would cheer him. And then, of course, the following night after he wins the title, he basically says the crowd was never into him, becomes a heel again. Genius transition.
I don't know. I think that Bad News Barrett, though, is he's really over right now. And so I think that'd be a bad idea. But I understand what you're saying, though. I think that Sandow, honestly, I don't think that there's going to be a payoff. I think he's going to be stuck in jobber hell. And I think that they don't know what to do with him. And it's really sad, because he's somebody who I think could potentially be an upper mid card type of character. You know, he could wrestle for the title as a villain, but never win it. You know, that's the type of guy that I could see him as. And unfortunately, I don't think that we will see him in that spot because they don't have a spot for him right now. So, Andy, I do want to ask you, though, Sheamus, currently the U.S. title holder, hasn't defended a ton, and he's in the Money in the Bank match. So obviously the U.S. title is not going to be defended at the pay-per-view. Do you think it's time to take the title off Sheamus?
He just got the title, though.
I understand, but I mean, we may go down the route, though, that with Dean Ambrose, where he's not defending the title pretty much ever. I mean, should we potentially talk about taking the title off of him?
Well, he should drop the title, but to who, though? That's the thing. You know, that's another thing. You could say that he's going to drop it to Sandow, and then Sandow.
Oh, no, are you kidding me? Sandow is so low on the pecking order right now. That would be a huge mistake, I think.
Well, couldn't you put the U.S. title then on, like, Seth Rollins?
You know what? I could see maybe Seth Rollins, and then he could drop it to somebody a little bit lower, too. Yeah, I mean, we could potentially do that.
I would love to see Kofi with the title. I miss him with some type of medal on him. And that's sad that he doesn't have a title. And realistically, they don't know what to do with Kofi now. They're like, well, we're just going to have you wrestle this match. Oh, yeah, we're going to put you in the Money in the Bank. Think of something creative to do. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to do something very creative, and that's it. Why he's not Shelton Benjamin, who comes in for one bump and then he's gone. But that's kind of what Kofi's become when you look at it. They're just not using him properly.
Yeah, but Shelton Benjamin had a lot more charisma, and he was a lot better on the mic than Kofi was. So.
Oh no! Shelton Benjamin was horrible on the mic, dude.
He's better than Kofi.
No, Kofi's good on the mic. I will say
that. Really? Okay. When was the last time you heard him talk?
Okay. Now, Kofi, when they do those promos before he actually gets into the ring, Kofi is not very good at those promos. It's almost like
are taped.
It's almost like he has to show more emotion is the only way I can explain it. And that's, I don't know what they're doing wrong with him. I guess that's what I have to analyze and try and figure out how to save Kofi, because I wouldn't be surprised if they end up letting Kofi go. And that's the sad part. Him and Sandow, I just wouldn't be surprised now.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not doing anything with him. I do agree, though. I think that if you took if you gave, like, Kofi the title, I think that it would be fine. But they'd have to find out a very clever way of doing so. Andy, the Money in the Bank participants were announced. Now, this is for the actual briefcase itself. And so they announced the seven people that are going to be in there. I got to ask you, of the seven that were announced, who do you think will win?
Well, I would have to assume that Rollins will win. As much as I don't believe he should get it, he should get it because of the storyline. So, I mean, you could have Rollins win it, but then you got to say who's going to win the title, because this match is going to be early on. In fact, I would not be surprised if this is the opener for that night. I mean, Seth Rollins is going to be the winner. There's no way around it. I mean, I could say Bad News Barrett. I could say Dolph Ziggler. I would love to see Dolph Ziggler win it.
Yeah, but he's not going to. Here's the problem, I think. When we take a look at the list, and I'm not going to name everyone, there's people that you can look at and you're like, there's no chance that they're going to win, which, you know, Swagger and Kofi. I mean, just no chance.
And RVD.
Yeah. Well, RVD could, but I doubt it. I think that, you know, Rollins, Ambrose, Bad News Barrett. I mean, that's who probably will win it. Like, you know, those are going to be your top three of the seven. But those are going to be the three favorites. And of those, I would have it ranked Rollins, Ambrose, Barrett. Those would be the three in order.
But I doubt Barrett's going to do the match now because he got hurt on SmackDown. They actually threw the X up too, and he was wrestling Ambrose, if I'm correct.
Yeah, and then Swagger came in and interfered and threw him into the railing and apparently injured his shoulder. Apparently they separated it, which means that kind of, you know, he probably, number one, if he was planning to win it, he's definitely not going to win it now. And number two, he may not be in the match. So it's going to be maybe a six-way, you know, and that says something. So I think that Rollins and Ambrose in a one-on-one match that there are four other participants in.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting if they brought someone from like NXT? Well, I guess it's too late to do that.
Well, and on top of that, too, you really want to bring in somebody from NXT and give them a Money in the Bank contract.
Dude, you know what the thing is? I just have a thing for Sami Zayn, El Generico.
And that's fine. I think he's a tremendous wrestler, too. But would you give him the title?
I'd give him the U.S. title or the IC title in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't.
Really?
You cannot give somebody who is unproven on that level a major title.
Okay, on that level. But the thing is, okay, here's the thing. This is why I like to bring up Zayn, is because anytime they go overseas, he's always on the tour because he's been there before and they know him and they enjoy him wrestling as El Generico.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Why not bring him to the main stage? Why not test the waters more?
Do you want to Adam Rose him?
Okay, you got a point there.
No, you don't want to. Exactly. So if you force him...
You'll have a point.
If you force him down our throats, guess what? We're not going to like him. You know? And they were doing that with Adam Rose. Honestly, I think Bo Dallas is kind of getting a little bit of a shaft, too, with that. Rusev's the only one that's doing well because they also, you know, have been booking him as a huge monster who's destroying everybody. So that's a little different. But, I mean, there's not many people from NXT that have been translating well. So I wouldn't want to do that to Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I guess it's almost like you have to book him properly. In a way, shouldn't they just send Sandow down there for now until they figure out what to do with him? Or is that just basically saying that he's going to become JTG?
Well, let's hope that he doesn't. Andy, Kane was added to the WWE title match. What do you think his chances are?
I have a better chance of winning.
So percentage-wise, you're giving him negative, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm giving myself 1% on this, okay. And I'm giving Kane -5 stars.
-5 stars, okay. Is it even interesting to have him in the match?
No, because the only reason that he's even going to be in the match is so he can do a program with Roman Reigns, because Kane was supposed to do it with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan gets injured, and then they're like, oh, what do we do with Kane now? Well, we could just throw him in the title match and then have it so he costs Reigns the title some way. And then you could almost have it where Randy, you know what, if they had Randy Orton win the titles, I would be shocked. But I believe, and I'll tell you this right now, John Cena will be the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, because it's a safe bet. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, if we're looking at like betting odds, I would say John Cena has a 50% chance of winning. I would go with him, and then I could see maybe even Bray Wyatt, which I think would still be too fast. But I think that they could do that to try and push him to that next level, that they think that maybe giving him the title will, you know, elevate him. But I think that would be a bad idea. Same thing with Roman Reigns. I think that you have to give it to somebody who is already proven. So Cesaro, Reigns, and Bray Wyatt are already out because of that. And so, you know, who do you have left? I mean, you're not going to give it to Kane. Probably not. But I think Kane has a better chance than the other three, personally.
Well, you know what? If Kane does win it, though, and Daniel Bryan is cleared to come back and start wrestling again, that would be kind of cool to have Daniel Bryan versus Kane. Then it makes sense why Kane's... Because Kane just... You know what, dude? That actually makes more sense now, because Kane just got put in the match. And yes, he could be doing a program with Roman Reigns, but it also would make sense if he won it, because you give him the title, so he has the titles again. And then you could have him wrestle Roman Reigns, and then maybe... Oh, well, he would have to basically beat Roman Reigns at least once, and then you have Daniel Bryan back in the title picture. That could be what they're doing with this.
You know, and I had thought about that, too. I thought about having, Kane win the titles, but he's not marketable. He really isn't. And I don't think that giving him the titles, especially for just like 60 days, is going to really help things. You know, I don't think that would be good for business.
Well, and if he's going to be done here in the next year or so, why not give him the title one more time before he calls it?
But the thing is, there's other people you could give the title to. And as much as I don't want John Cena to have the title, I can almost guarantee you John Cena will be the new champion come next week.
That is true. Oh, by the way, something that I just want to bring up real quick. Got to say goodbye to Vicky Guerrero. She's done. She came out with Eddie's music, which I thought was really cool. That segment with her and Stephanie and the other divas, that was hilarious to me. I laughed a lot. It was probably the funniest thing I've seen in a while. It's just sad to see that now she's gone. So goodbye, Vic. And you're no longer a cougar, but Latino heat will live on forever. R.I.P. Eddie. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with their free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of our web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEshop.com. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. So MVP has been stripped of his Director of Operations title.
Yeah, okay. So he last week he fired Earl Hebner, and then this week he tried firing a couple other people, and they said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. We're stripping you of your title, which was, you would think that if they had that power, they would have done that a little while ago. You know, I mean, if that was, you know, if we're talking kayfabe here, you know, and we're going to be talking about, hey, you know what, this is a good storyline that we're going to be running with. Well, why weren't you guys doing that before? You know, why weren't you able to do that except for now? Because it just happens to be convenient. But they gave the title to Kurt Angle, which was announced at the end of the show. What do you think of Kurt Angle being the, you know, antithesis to MVP?
You got to use him. You know, Kurt Angle is going to be gone here shortly, and he's hurt, so he can't wrestle. Have him do something. But, you know, MVP's on the same problem now because he can't wrestle either. I don't know what they're going to do with MVP from here on out, but Kurt Angle, I think it's cool. At least he's going to be, you know, on the shows coming up here in New York. So give TNA credit. They actually are using him when he could just be sitting at home, and they're still paying him a lot of money. So,
yeah, and I think I agree. I think that Kurt Angle, who he's the type of guy who's pretty good on the mic, and, you know, he's somebody that he puts butts in the seats. And so I think that it's a really great idea to have him there. Something else that we should bring up about the New York tapings. So they had a survey or contest, I guess, that fans were voting. Do you want four sides or six sides? And six sides won, apparently, is by a pretty wide margin. There were a lot of wrestlers that were against it. What do you think? Are you glad to see the six sides back?
Okay. I like six sides. I think it's cool. But Sean Waltman, of all people, the 1-2-3 kid or X-Pac or six-pac, he made the best point. He said, when you go off the top of the ropes, you're so used to having it being 90 degrees. And I don't even know what the ropes are. I mean, they could be 45 degrees that you're going off of. It's going to mess things up. Now, if they were always six sides, that's fine. But they were converting all the six-sided rings that they had to four sides, and now they may have to unconvert them. Ridiculous. Either stick with four sides or stick with six sides. Don't change it. Even though the six-sided rings are gimmicky, you know, if you don't do it all the time, wrestlers are not used to it. I mean, Japan, there's one promotion, if I'm correct, actually uses six sides at all times. But when you go off the ropes, it's different. There's not much give as opposed to when you're at the four sides. There's a lot of give. You know, it's kind of cool, but, you know, Austin Aries just did something interesting. He went radio silence on Twitter because of it, him basically protesting it. All right, mm-hmm. That's fine. But six sides, it's not a big deal to me anymore.
I like six sides. I think that having the six sides is unique. But the one thing I would say, and I totally understand what you're saying, if you wrestle on four sides and you go to six sides, it's kind of weird. However, I think that is cool to do six sides every now and then, especially if you're special events like a pay-per-view or like Destination X, that sort of thing. I'm totally okay with them doing six sides. But with that said, it's very tough to be able to do that and transition well. So there'd be a lot of botches, unfortunately, by doing that.
And I got to say, Matthew is going to be excited to do Botchamania, whatever it's going to be, 254 or whatever it is.
So, Andy, the other big match that happened, on Impact was we had James Storm beat Mr. Anderson. And these two have been feuding for a little while now. I'm actually digging this feud a little bit more than what I was previously. I am glad to see them wrestling. Are we going to see the payoff happen before the next pay-per-view, which I believe is Bound for Glory in October? Or are we going to see them feuding until then?
I think you're going to have to continue the feud till then, because what else are you going to do? I believe that unless they have a big plan, which I don't think they do, you're going to have to continue this feud. So, you know, have James Storm go over first, and then you can have Ken Anderson go over maybe at the New York tapings. And then you could say that it's going to be settled at Bound for Glory. By the way, aren't they supposed to be doing points for Bound for Glory?
They're going to start it soon. Not yet, though.
They need to start it real soon.
Well, you have October, and depending on how they're doing it this year, in my opinion, you have 8 participants and that's it. You don't do like the 12 that they were doing, which was stupid. I think that you have 8 participants do a round robin and, you know, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but that's coming up fast. They're going to have to do it at the New York tapings. I don't think you can wait. You would have to start at the New York tapings and then say, because they're going to tape, what, 4 or 5 shows over 3 days and a pay-per-view. So they're going to have to start it at some point. So, oh, well.
Yeah. So, Andy, let's talk about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Oh,
and
gosh, dude, that opening match. Wow. That was wow. That's all I can say. One of the best openers I've seen in a while.
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was that good.
It was okay. It was exciting.
Sounds like you really liked it.
Maybe it was because I want Ring of Honor to succeed because they're staying regional, and they've been that way this entire time. I don't think they've ever traveled out to the Pacific side at all. I don't think they've gone to Seattle, which would be huge out there. L.A., I don't think they would do well. I think PWG and PWS are really good out there, but they've stayed in one area. So, and they have a pay-per-view.
So you want them to succeed only because they've stayed in one area?
Okay, here's why. Because
it's good wrestling.
It's good wrestling, but they did not. Okay, now I'm trying to think how to word this properly. Okay, they did not say, we're going to hit this place and this place and this place because we're Ring of Honor, we're going to sell it out. No, they didn't. TNA did that, and that's why they failed at traveling.
So you want Ring of Honor to win because TNA failed?
No, I want Ring of Honor to win because they stayed basically as a regional promotion, and they had a pay-per-view. They're like, oh my gosh, a real pay-per-view, not an iPay-per-view, but a pay-per-view that you could get on DirecTV, Dish, cable systems. And they stayed regional.
I'm confused. Oh. You don't want Ring of Honor to win because they have good wrestling.
No, I want that Ring of Honor. You're confusing me. Okay, I want Ring of Honor to succeed because I believe that their business plan was done properly. They did not take chances and go places that they wouldn't do well, like TNA did. TNA started traveling, and then they sold out the first few shows, and then they stopped selling out because they knew that they were traveling. So Chicago show did really good. And then I can't remember where they went after that, but that one did really good.
Well, they didn't do well because they didn't advertise. I think so. Ring of Honor, I want them to succeed because I actually like the wrestlers. I think that they put on really good wrestling. It's a very different product than what you're going to see with WWE. It's a little bit more physical. It is a good promotion. But the pay-per-view itself, Andy, what did you think of it?
I thought it was good. I thought if this is going to be your first pay-per-view to get people like, wow, I want to spend the $35 to watch this or $24 or $25 to watch it in standard def, this was a good pay-per-view. I thought every match I was happy with, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian came out, did their shtick. I thought it was hilarious, had a good match. And when it was all said and done, I was pretty happy with the pay-per-view. Steen had a great match against Silas. What's his first name?
Silas Young.
Yes. I'm sorry. His first name. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Silas Young and Kevin Steen had a great match. Steen cut a promo that basically insinuated that he's going to the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you know, I guess it's sad to see him go. So he has one pay-per-view left. He's probably going to put Silas Young over at the next one. Great. That's fine. He's going to go, unfortunately. But I just hope that he succeeds down at NXT. I really do. But overall, getting back to the fact, the pay-per-view itself, it was great. The final match was Adam Cole, who's been the champion for, it feels like forever,
versus Michael Elgin. And if I'm correct, didn't Cole cut off Elgin's trademark mullet?
Yeah, so Saturday morning is when I get the Ring of Honor like TV taping, and so they showed the what happened. And so he not only cut off the mullet, but then he went and put his wife in a figure four leg lock. You know, it was actually kind of like, wow, OK, they really are trying to make you hate Adam Cole. And of course, Elgin won the title. The thing I thought that was interesting, though, so at Ring of Honor, they throw streamers to celebrate things, you know, like if they like a person or if they won a big match. And Elgin, they had an amazing false finish where Adam Cole kicked out of Elgin's move. And the crowd was throwing streamers in, and the ref gets up and is pointing. He's saying two, you know, and it was almost the equivalent of when Undertaker was pinned. Like, well, that's what it was for a lot of people.
But give the fans credit. They said that they messed up over and over.
I know.
Which was actually funny.
I was listening. I'm like, are they saying what I think they're saying? And I was like, oh, they are. OK, good for you. Good for you.
That, I guess that's why I like the fans there. It's kind of, it's something different. It's fast paced wrestling, and Michael Elgin, give him credit. I mean, great a performer. Adam Cole was a great champion though. I mean, when you think about it, Cole was a great champion. He wasn't just a guy who was just there that was given the belt. This sounds horrible, but I think Jamie Noble, I can't remember what his name was when he was there, but I believe that he was a horrible Ring of Honor champion, and this is going back.
Yeah, I don't understand why he had the title. That just seemed either. Really strange. It was like, you know, you have Samoa Joe and Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and Jamie Noble.
Yeah, and he's the one who had the title. So that's the only person I was like, why did they give him the title?
But you know, Andy, I gotta ask you something. Speaking of titles, you know, and people that shouldn't be holding them, like the U.S. title and the IC title, right? Those are two pretty prestigious championships, and there's a lot of people that should not have held those titles. I got to ask you, so I did a list, top five people who should not have held those titles. U.S. or IC, what would you be most interested in hearing?
Alex Wright.
What would you be most interested in hearing?
The people who shouldn't have won it then.
No, the people who should not have won which title?
The IC title.
You want to do the IC title?
All right. Yeah.
So here's my top five wrestlers who should not have won the IC title. Okay. Number five, Ric Flair.
Really?
And here's why. It's not because he should not have won the title, because he's obviously very deserving of it. You know when he won the IC title, Andy?
I have no idea.
It was when he was with Evolution.
Oh, gosh.
So he won the IC title during that time, obviously should not have won it. That to me says, you know, this is a champion, really a 21-time world champion, who is winning the Intercontinental title. Really? Really? Kind of weird. Number four, Andy. Well, Shane Douglas.
Won the IC title?
Yeah. He actually held the IC title. It was during a time when Shawn Michaels was injured and they were really pushing Shane Douglas, and the Clique used their influence to have him take the title off, have WWE take the title off of him. So Shane Douglas actually won the title, but it kind of devalued it a little bit because of what it did. So that one is also another one where it's not necessarily Shane Douglas wasn't deserving of it. This is one where Shane Douglas shouldn't have won it because I actually kind of besmirched it a little. But the next three, Andy, are people who should not have won the title at all. And number three, Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah. He beat John Morrison back in 2009.
So I got to ask you, do you remember his run at all with the IC title?
I don't remember it.
It was really bad. It was really, really terrible. And that actually leads me to my number two, which was Curtis Axel, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Curtis Axel had no business winning the IC title, and the only reason he won is because they were pushing him down our throat, and of course it's Mr. Perfect's son.
Yeah, better than perfect, remember?
Yep, better than perfect.
Yeah, so Curtis Axel is a guy who had no business holding that title, kind of devalues it a little bit. When you think about the types of people that have held the title, the types of reigns that people had, Curtis Axel holding that really makes it look pretty bad. And my number one guy, Andy, who should not have held the title at all, and I think really, really hurts it.
Ezekiel Jackson?
Santino.
Oh, that's right, because he won it because he was a quote-unquote fan.
Yeah, when you have a fan win the Intercontinental title, that's saying, wow, this is what Macho Man held. This is what the Ultimate Warrior held. This is a really big title, and we're going to give it to some random person who was a joke character who should not hold any titles at all, and they gave it to him.
When did he win that? That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago. I want to say it might have been like 05, 07, something around like the Dark Ages, I would call it.
The Dark Ages of wrestling? Are you kidding me? Back when Johnny Nitro was still around? You know, John Morrison? Anyways, I'd like to hear the U.S. title at some point, though. That would be really interesting. Do you know?
Yeah, we'll do it sometime. I think that you might actually have issue with it. So.
Oh, really? Because Goldberg, or the fact that Ric Flair was the first U.S. title holder?
We'll talk about it.
All right. We'll talk about it some other time. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.